I'm coaching a girls' soccer team sponsored by my company, the Ladybugs. If I can bring home a winning team, I'll get that promotion. Then your mother and I can get married.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's out searching for the Mrs. Meyers clean day of destiny. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Susanna Leveler Crabe Cox.
It's a level playing field for me.
Joel Chicago-style Cunningham.
Get ready to get dragged through the garden.
And Carrie Shebop Race.
I can see your true colors, and they're going to be black and blue when I'm done with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first elimination match of the Globochem division here in our ninth season. Three veteran players coming to try their luck in our new season. Here with us keeping the scores is Scoremaster Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. Just got back from Philadelphia, and like good old William Claude, all things considered, I would rather be here. Also, unlike good old William Claude, I would never do a movie with Edgar Bergen. Just no.
I understood 100% of that. Yeah, also did. Here joining us today is our friend, Production Master Dave. Hiya, Dave.
Take it from me. I love you.
Aw.
Oh, I love you too, Dave. Let's go ahead and play our first game of the day. It's a round of My Champion. This is a game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from the world of pop culture, but we choose the challenge those champions are about to undergo. Returning from our very first season, it's knitter and finder of objects, Susanna Crabe Cox. Susanna, who's your champion today?
My champion is Michael Weston from Burn Notice.
Coming back after competing in season three, also playing today is writer and editor Joel Cunningham. Joel, who have you got for your champion?
My champion also loves to burn. It is Calcifer, the fire demon from the Studio Ghibli movie Howl's Moving Castle, also a book by Diana Wynne Jones.
And rounding out our lineup, it's a finalist from our fourth season. It's Vans-wearing 80s enthusiast Carrie Race. Carrie, who's your champion?
My champion is Mr. Miyagi from the Karate Kid universe.
All right, three champions are all locked in. Production Master Dave is on judging duties today, so let's go ahead and spin the scenario wheel. In honor of Mr. Show's Globochem sketch, which champion could best kill a corporate CEO by yelling and berating them? Susanna, why is Michael Weston from Burn Notice going to best kill a corporate CEO by yelling and berating them?
Well, we start with his military background, which was shadowy at best, but there was some military CIA training. So I must assume that he's been yelled at by the best in the U.S. government. Following up, his ability to inhabit characters, which includes scary yelling characters, shadowy characters, he knows how to intimidate a CEO. So he's got this. He's ready to just scream and yell until it's out of his system. And then he goes gets some yogurt.
Thank you, Susanna. All right, Joel, you are up. Why is Calcifer from Howl's Moving Castle going to kill a corporate CEO through pure verbal abuse?
Well, Calcifer, being a fire demon whose sole job in the movie is pretty much to use all of his magical powers to power a castle, that tells you he's got a lot of capacity to move a lot of energy. He's making a whole castle walk around on chicken legs, so he's got a lot of power. And the other thing he does in the movie, throughout the movie, is complain and yell at basically every other character. Billy Crystal does the voice, and I think he yells pretty much every one of his lines. So I think Calcifer is a very good yeller, and when he needs to, he can, you know, drop the castle, let it fall down, and revert all his power into his voice. And certainly he could kill one puny human.
See how the Billy Crystal factor really affects your argument here. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, I probably should have left that one out.
I'm not the judge, so we'll see. And Carrie, why is Mr. Miyagi from the Karate Kid franchise going to best kill a corporate CEO purely by yelling and berating them?
Well, Mr. Miyagi has a lot of experience going up against evildoers. We all know his history with Cobra Kai. But, you know, this is going to be a turn for him because he usually is conflict averse and looking for peace. But we also know about him that he has some kind of strange magical powers that he can summon through his hands and use to heal broken legs. So I have to assume that he also can do the same with his voice and summon up some kind of magical presence from within his body. And when he opens his mouth and shouts at the CEO, it will just automatically level them to the ground.
All right, that is it for our arguments. Now it is up to production master Dave to determine our winner. Dave, who's it going to be?
And not to spoil it, but I think this is going to come down to Billy Crystal. I honestly do. Like, I haven't made up my mind yet.
It was a mistake.
But there's gears turning on whether Billy Crystal is going to make this a fail for Joel or not.
Maybe he would just be really annoying.
So for Mr. Miyagi, I get it. He has a lot of experience versus people that would do society harm. But there is a giant leap between magical hands and a magical voice. I don't think we connected that thread well enough to really convince me that it could be Mr. Miyagi. And Michael Weston has the training, and certainly, you know, he is somebody that can inhabit the skin of any character that he needs to for the job. But he's more of a hands-on guy rather than a yelling and berating guy. So when it comes to Calcifer, like, his whole thing is he screams and shit happens. And whether that is rooms growing and changing in a castle, it really feels like he has the raw power, and he's demonstrated that it has enough behind it that it could kill a person. If we ended there, I would be saying, fine, that makes sense to me. But then you have to go to the dubbed version with Billy Crystal of all people and add that to your argument. So my question here is,
I panic.
Does the Billy Crystal part of it take away enough that I'm going to throw this to Weston? And I'm going to say, luckily for you, it doesn't. I'm going to buy it. Our winner today is Joel and Calcifer.
Thank you very much. I knew I should have gone with the subtitle version, but I don't know who does that voice. So,
well, it paid off. Congratulations, Joel. You have won my champion, which means you get to go first in round one, and you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correct, and you will earn the half point, potentially breaking a tie before a tie even happens. Here is your half point question. From the aforementioned Mr. Show sketch, what is the name of Globochem's magical, pansexual, non-threatening spokes thing?
Unfortunately, I never watched Mr. Show, so I am just going to have to pass right off the bat.
Pit-Pat is the name of that little character, so you pit-passed on Pit-Pat. Now, you may have missed the half point, Joel, but you still get to kick us off in round one, Marge Excitable's Entomological Specimens. Marge Excitable returns with passionate reviews about her favorite people from pop culture, filled with her signature brand of terrible wordplay. But she's also been taking an entomology course at the Learning Annex, so she's got bugs on the brain. We'll read you an excerpt of her review highlighting an actor, singer, or author's work in a pop culture property that has the name of an insect, arachnid, or other creepy crawly somewhere in its title. You name that property. For instance, if we said, Paul Rudd has quite a hill to climb in this superheroic movie performance, but I'd start a whole colony of appreciation for him. You'd know that was a review of
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man! That would get you 10 points. Now, if you need a hint, we can give you the year and the genre of the property, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's give our first review for Joel. Jerry Seinfeld Hive, rise up. His voice work in this movie is sweeter than honey.
I think if you give this answer, every time you say this answer, the answer gets faster and repeats itself. This would be B movie.
Good for Ted. Next to Carrie. You won't need a pair of compound eyes to appreciate this William Golding novel. Whether you're in the house or enjoying some fruit, you may find yourself with a cluster of great books like this one.
Sounds like Lord of the Flies.
Also for 10. To Susanna. Michael Keaton has the unignorable presence of a rhinoceros in this movie. Nothing about what he's doing smells like dung.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh boy.
It's showtime.
No.
She had to do it. 10 points for Beetlejuice. we are back to Joel. Dave Matthews Band is lifting over 50 times its own weight with this song. They're going to win Grammys one by one.
I'm trying to dredge up all my Dave Matthews knowledge from the early 90s. I believe this song is called Ants Marching.
Nice. Next to Carrie. Seth Rogen moves this old property away from its waspy roots. He practically murders this performance.
Oh, goodness. I think it's the Green Hornet.
Yes, the Michel Gondry version. Over to Susanna. Nathan Fillion really glows on this TV series. It's a real lightning in a bottle performance.
Is this Firefly?
It is. Everyone's doing great so far. Kicking it back to Joel. Author Stieg Larsson stirs things up in this sequel novel. She's as mad as something, all right.
Luckily, I have read all three of these books. That would be The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest.
Nice. To Carrie. I really bio the luminescent friendship of Sarah Chalk and Katherine Heigl in this summertime favorite that signals a new phase of the career of these stars.
This is that sappy show on Netflix. I hope the name is Firefly Lane.
You hoped correctly. Back to Susanna. Crazy Town has undergone a metamorphosis to create this song. Their lead singer has the presence and confidence of a true monarch.
Oh, no. I think I need the hint for this.
This is a 2000 song from the album The Gift of Game.
Oh, well, that was helpful. I really don't know. I'm just going to guess Queen Bee.
Joel and Carrie, what is this? Say it together.
Butterfly.
Ah!
Come, my lady.
come, my lady.
Best used, of course, over the opening credits of Something's Gotta Give. It's my favorite place to hear Butterfly. All right, let's check in with Scoremaster Dan on the scores.
Taylor, I had that song stuck in my head for years, and I'd gotten it out and just got to throw it right back in. I did not know that's what that song was called. Ugh. People are doing very well. Joe and Carrie are both tied. They are perfect at 30 points. Susanna is just barely trailing with 20.
All right, getting back into it, Joel. Kiki Palmer is a total queen in this movie. She spells with a swarm of letters.
Okay, spells. That tells me it's spelling bees. I'm trying to remember. I know I've read the book that this movie is based on. I don't know if it'll help, but I'll take the hint.
It's a 2006 drama film.
I knew that. Is it called Bee Season? No.
There is a book called Bee Season by Myla Goldberg, but this movie is called, Susanna?
Akila and the Spelling Bee?
Oh, Akila and the Bee. Yeah.
Akila and the Bee is the title there, yes.
I didn't know that was Kiki Palmer.
Very, very small Kiki Palmer. Next up to Carrie. Ashton Kutcher has fully come out of his cocoon and finally spread his wings in this movie.
The Butterfly Effect.
Nice. To Susanna, Dwayne Johnson really got his pincers in this performance and gives it an absolute lash, and the movie's tail end has a real sting to it.
This is The Scorpion King.
Fast answer from Susanna. One more insecty, creepy, crawly pun review for each player. This one's for Joel. Harrison Ford is blood-suckingly good in this movie, but you won't get Wes Nile from this performance.
Going back to the 80s with this one, this is Mosquito Coast.
To Carrie, Rodney Dangerfield isn't putting any black spots on his record in this movie. He does a great job of acting with a bunch of kids, and the result won't make you grouchy.
This is from the clip at the top of the show, Ladybugs.
I'm coaching a girls' soccer team sponsored by my company, the Ladybugs.
The Ladybugs.
Is his company called the Ladybugs?
I guess so. And last one is for Susanna. Normally, I don't like The Offspring. Most of their stuff sounds like annoying buzzing, and I want to swat whoever put it on. But this song's hilarious. I wouldn't mind having it in my ointment.
Okay. That's not where I thought this was going, but okay. Is it... Oh, no. I feel like this is the Alice in Chains song. It's an Alice in Chains song. It's like Fly in the Ointment.
This case, it's The Offspring with Pretty Fly for a White Guy. So you got the right bug.
I'm fine having forgotten that song.
I was one of the people who heard Pretty Fly for a Rabbi, the Weird Al version, many years before I realized it was another song beforehand.
Yeah.
Well, that will do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to round two. Hey listeners, Taylor here to let you know what's going on over in the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Club. Head to usaquizshow.com/club and subscribe at any level to get ad-free and early drop episodes. That means if we're done before the scheduled release date, you can get that episode early. Then you can also get access to our Discord channel, not only for listeners to our show, but for all the Through Methods podcasts. That's Extra Hot Great, Listen to Sassy, and Again With This, hanging out over on Discord. Plus, it gives you access to upcoming live events. For instance, if you're listening to this on its official release date of Monday, June 12th, 2 days from now, on June 14th, we're going to have a live music trivia event on Zoom. Check out our Discord and Patreon feed for that link, and you can also submit some song and category ideas for a round of Full Contact Name That Tune. I am very much looking forward to it and hope to see many of you there. Plus, don't forget about all our past bonus episodes available in that feed to all subscribers. Check it out at usaquizshow.com/club.
And folks, I cannot recommend the Full Contact Name That Tune nearly enough, because if you don't want to tackle Taylor, this is your chance. If he plays Pretty Fly for a White Guy, you can just jump right on it. Going to round two, it's time for the Bags, 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 Bags Hutch score break. The Bags, 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 Bags Hutch is specially made for bags and holds up to 12 bags. Right now, Carrie's lead with 50. Joel's got 40. Susanna's got 30, but that means she gets to go first in round two.
And Susanna also gets to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Susanna, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You'll have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each correct answer you can get. Here is your Threequalizer question. Name the three movie titles of what is known as the Mexico Trilogy. They got U.S. releases in 1993, 1995, and 2003.
El Mariachi. Desperado. And Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
A perfect Threequalizer. That's probably put Susanna into the lead, yeah, Dan?
Yeah, Susanna is now in lead with 60 points. Kara's got 50, Joel's got 40.
So I get a Threequalizer now, right?
All right, close game rolling into round two, entitled From the Mixed Up Files of Robert, Our Former Intern. Well, the college intern program has been a disaster. Turns out that Robert, in just 1 week, managed to misfile about half of the audio clips we keep on hand, mixing up songs, movies, and TV shows with the same title, which is why we file by object code, not name, Robert. But we've decided to turn those lemons into lemonade by seeing if you can figure out what Robert apparently couldn't. In this game, we'll give you a short clip and where it's been misfiled. If you can guess the name of the property from that information, you'll get 30 points. For instance, if I told you that this clip had been filed under a 1995 Antonio Banderas movie.
Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet.
You'd know that it was...
Desperado.
Desperado by the Eagles, which is also the name of that movie. If you still can't get it, I can play you a second misfiled clip with the same name, but then a correct answer is only worth 15. Let's start it off with the desperado queen herself, Susanna. This 2000 Madonna song has been filed under this clip.
You know, guys, maybe I'm just not good with girls, period.
All that you gotta do is just ask them questions and listen to what they have to say and stuff.
I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of work.
Here's to the next step.
Is that Express Yourself?
Joel?
I believe that is American Pie.
A song we all think of as being by Madonna, American Pie.
Yeah, I'm very angry. That's Don McLean erasure.
I should have asked for the hint on this one.
You know, people complain if it's too old stuff. Oh, those songs are the 60s and 70s. We want new stuff. Fine. You want new stuff? You get new stuff. You get the Madonna American Pie.
All right. Next up, Joel. This 1998 Goo Goo Dolls song has been filed under this clip.
I know you must feel that I don't belong in your world.
You know more about me than anyone on earth. You are my world.
In this house we stand, Judi Dench. I believe that is Iris.
That answer just wants you to know what it is. It's Iris.
Jeez.
It's the only reaction I wanted from that. Thank you, Carrie. All right, Carrie, the next one is for you. This 2004 U2 song has been filed under this clip.
Where's the cinch? Here, I look up, I look down. I look up, I look...
What was the strange attraction that brought these two together in spite of the dark forces that tore them apart?
It sounds like someone doing a really bad Jimmy Stewart impression, but I think that's Jimmy Stewart in Vertigo.
Correct. Well, if that's question three, clearly the next question has to be 14 if we're talking about Vertigo. No, we will go on to number four. This is back to Susanna. This 1998 Denise Richards movie has been filed under this clip.
Find table space to say your social graces, bow your head, they're pious here. But you and I, we're pioneers. We make our own rules, our own room, no bias here.
I'm not pulling a lot from that, so I think I'm going to ask for the hint.
This 2015 Alessia Cara song has been filed under this clip.
And appearances can deceive.
Kelly said that we should do this to hurt Mr. Lombardo. She found out that Mr. Lombardo was in love with her mom, and that was it.
So you skank it! You know how my mom's paying you off?
Well, okay. It sounded like a Scream movie, so I'm going to go with Scream.
Joel knows this one.
Is this Wild Things?
It is, with that Alessia Cara song we heard first called Wild Things.
So I just know Joel's answers, not mine. Is that it?
That's how it works sometimes. All right, Joel, see if we can keep that streak of Susanna knowing your answers going with this one. This 2011 Adele song has been filed under this clip.
Grandma, I told you never to call me that in public.
Did Mom sleep with someone before marrying Dad?
Bo Burrows.
Who?
Mom liked Bo Burrows. You seduced him, and then she ran off with him a week before the wedding. Isn't that what happened?
I don't believe everything you see in the movies.
I'm glad for the clip, because I don't know Adele very well, but I have heard the song, and... I do know about this movie, which is the one that's supposed to be about the inspiration for The Graduate. Rumor has it.
Rumor has it. Yes, that's correct. Next up to Carrie. This 2008 Angelina Jolie movie has been filed under this clip.
Anyone can tell you you're pretty. And you get that all the time.
Okay, I am sad that I know the song, which I think is called Wanted by Hunter Hayes, and the movie is Wanted.
Wanted, the correct answer, even pulling the Hunter Hayes knowledge. We are back to Susanna. This 2001 Destiny's Child song has been filed under this clip.
I am really freaking excited. I have studied this game. I love this game. And I can't express how honored I am to be part of the first season back. That's freaking crazy.
The first season back. Okay. Can I have the hint, please?
This 2000 reality show has been filed under this clip.
It was worth it for the chair dancing. Survivor?
Six heads bobbing on this Zoom call to that clip, yes. Next up to Joel. This 1996 Neve Campbell movie has been filed under this clip.
Stop pressuring me to give my answer so quickly. We had Scream mentioned earlier. This is Scream.
We did get there eventually. 30 points, Joel. Next up to Carrie. This 2021 Rose Byrne TV show has been filed under this clip.
I am wearing my homemade Olivia
wow.
Newton-John Whoa. Sweatshirt. That is the song Physical.
Oh, incredible. Well, that'll take us into our next score break from Scoremaster Dan.
I tell you, our players are breaking the curve on this game. Both Joel and Carrie are perfect in round two so far. We're going to have problems if everyone just keeps on doing it. We have to wind up going into tiebreakers, all this. We need to up the difficulty a little bit. Taylor, I think we can do that in the last half of the game. I think we can up that difficulty a little bit, right?
Sure, we'll see.
All right. So right now, Carrie's still only with 140. Joel's got 130. Susanna's trailing with 75.
All right, let's see if we can hear a comeback trade for Susanna. Robert has filed this 1970 Stephen Sondheim show under this clip.
Set each other's lonely nights, be each other's paradise. Need a picture from my frame. Someone to share my brain. Tell me what you wanna drink. I'll tell you what I got in mind.
Okay. It's not Company, and it's probably not can I have a hint, please?
This 2015 Justin Bieber song has been filed under this clip.
Pardon me, is everybody there? Because if everybody's there, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate your going even more. I mean, you must have lots of better things to do, and not a word of it to Paul. Remember, Paul, you know the man I'm going to marry, but I'm not, because I wouldn't ruin anyone as wonderful as he is. But I thank you all for the gifts and the flowers. Thank you all. Now it's back to the showers. Don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today.
That was some excellent patter. I'm going to have to pass. I don't know.
You should have gone with the guess, Susanna, because it is indeed Company, the thing that you mentioned earlier.
Always take a guess.
Always take a guess. All right, next one is for Joel. This 2017 Christopher Maloney TV show has been filed under this clip.
There's lots of chair dancing going on in this episode. I believe this is based on a comic book that I never read called Happy.
Good for 30. We are back to Carrie. This 1993 Martina McBride song has been filed under this clip.
President, our intelligence tells us the object assembled into a stationary orbit. Part of it is broken off into nearly three dozen other pieces. Smaller than the whole circuit. Yet over 15 miles in width themselves.
Where are they heading?
They should be entering our atmosphere within the next 25 minutes.
Um, I love that Martina McBride song, if it's the one I'm thinking of. And I'm going to take a guess and say it's Independence Day.
Went for the big points, paid off. We are back to Susanna. This 2006 Denzel Washington movie has been filed under this clip.
So when you're gonna tell her that we did that too, she thinks it's special, but it's all reused. That was our place, I found it first, I made the jokes you tell to her.
Anything familiar in there, Susanna?
Very, very little. So I think I'm going to ask for the hint, please.
This 2021 Olivia Rodrigo song has been filed under this clip.
You arrive at a place you've never been. But it feels familiar. But it feels familiar. You look into the face of a stranger. And you feel like you've known her all your life.
In the Twilight Zone?
Joel?
I'm going to thank my daughter for this one. She loves Olivia Rodrigo, and this is Deja Vu.
Correct. All right, Joel, here is your last missed filed clip pairing. This 1978 Police song has been filed under this clip.
Can I look at those nose cards one more time? Oh, yeah.
C.D. Bales had a small problem.
They said it was big, but I didn't expect it to be big.
He could handle every situation.
Turn it off!
Except the one that mattered most.
Oh, man. Sounded like Steve Martin, but I didn't recognize what it was, and I don't know the Police well enough to answer without the hint, so I'm going to take the hint.
This 1987 Daryl Hannah movie has been filed under this clip.
You don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night.
Sing it. Sing the answer or you don't get the points.
Roxanne.
Yeah, 15.
He's talking about a big nose. That was it.
All right. Pressure's on. Can Carrie get a full, perfect round two score by getting the full 30 on this final question? This 2016 JoJo Siwa song has been misfiled under this clip.
Man, stuff like that never happens to me. Man, stuff like that never happens to anybody except for Marcus.
Spend the night with me.
Oh, Christy, no, it's just too soon. I can't.
The only reason stuff like that happens to me all the time is because I pay attention to women. Check it.
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm not going to... Hearing the JoJo Siwa clip is not going to help me. All right, I'll take the hint, please.
This 1992 Eddie Murphy movie has been filed under this clip.
They can keep talking that talk, but I'm going to keep walking my walk. And I won't hear a sound. Yeah, they're just trying to see.
Wow.
I do want to go on record as saying I stan queer icon JoJo Siwa, but I'm not familiar with her music, but I assume the name of that song is Boomerang.
Good for 15. Strong round for all our players. Next up, the scores from Dan, and on to our final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time our next episode comes out, and you can win the chance to name a score break right here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
There once was a film set in a rink where a fire marshal was pushed to the brink. He fought off bad guys, won in a mascot's disguise, and made a clutch save without time to think.
Think you know what that is? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle to send in that answer and win that prize. We'll post those answers on our social media. We are at USA Quiz Show on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
going to round three, it's time for the Ding Dong King Kong Sing Song Burger score break. The Ding Dong King Kong Sing Song Burger. Put your face in you, you. Oh, we're going to have to bleep that entire thing. Yeah, that's not going to work. Right now, Carrie's in the lead with 185. Joel's got 175. Susanna's trailing with 75 and will need to get 11 correct answers in her round in order to pull into first.
And anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You can earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are love recently, dyslexic zombie food, time to Vogue, and slaying a dragon in acid-washed jeans. Now, those topics are a little mysterious from their names, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you want to keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Susanna, in third place, you get first pick at a category. Which one would you like? Once again, they are love recently, dyslexic zombie food, time to Vogue, and slaying a dragon in acid-washed jeans.
Yeah, all perfectly clear. Okay, cool. I will go with dyslexic zombie food.
Where do you think this is going, Susanna?
Some variant on humans or brains? Barns instead of brains?
You're in exactly the right ballpark. In this case, we have mixed up the letters in the word brain a little bit to where it's Brian. So this is going to be all about performers and characters named Brian. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Susanna, are you ready?
Ready.
In Love and Mercy, Paul Dano plays this musician.
Pass.
Appropriately, he showed up on the revival of Beverly Hills 90210 and on That 90s Show.
Brian Austin Green.
Brian Stokes Mitchell won the Best Actor Tony in 2000 for this Cole Porter musical.
Kiss Me, Kate.
He had success with both Stray Cats and a 90s swing revival band.
Brian Ferry.
Brian Setzer. This musical has Cambridge professor Brian Roberts befriending Sally Bowles.
Cabaret.
He played Logan Roy on Succession and Agamemnon in Troy.
Brian Blessed.
Brian Cox. Brian Kinney is an ad executive on this groundbreaking 2000 Showtime drama.
Pass.
Road trip episodes of Family Guy pair Brian the dog and this character.
Stewie.
This late actor played Brian O'Connor in several Fast and Furious movies.
Pass.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers plays glam superstar Brian Slade in this 1998 Todd Haynes movie.
Velvet Goldmine.
This The Shining actor played Brian Hackett on Wings.
Pass.
In Life of Brian, this python plays Brian of Nazareth.
Eric Idle.
Graham Chapman. All right, Dan, let's hear the Susanna report.
All right, let's go through the passes first. In Love and Mercy, Paul Dano plays Brian Wilson, who I always get mixed up with Brian Eno. I know they're different people. Don't at me. Brian Kinney is an ad executive in Queer as Folk from Showtime. Brian O'Connor in the Fast and Furious movies is played by Paul Walker. And the Shining actor who played Brian Hackett on Wings is Steven Weber. We're talking, of course, about the well-remembered TV version of The Shining that Stephen King liked, not that movie that some people like, for apparently for some reason. This question brought to you by the fact that I recently watched the TV version because I wouldn't let my kid watch the movie version. Susanna had a lot of making up to do in that round. She wasn't quite able to get there. She had 5 correct answers, bringing her to 125 points. Joel's up next. He has 175 points. 1 correct answer will put him to tie. 2 will put him into the lead.
All right, tight race up at the top. Joel, your remaining category choices are love recently, time to Vogue, and slaying a dragon in acid-washed jeans.
There's some very evocative titles here. Love recently makes me think it's like, what have the people from Love actually been doing lately? That's a lot of people to keep track of. But I think the other one might be about 80s fantasy movies, and I don't know how well I know those. So I think I'm going to go with Love Recently.
Love Recently, in this case, while it does play on the title of Love Actually, we are just talking about rom-coms of the 2010s. Romantic comedies of the 2010s.
I've made a huge mistake.
That said, I am 100% stealing that idea for a category, and that'll be coming up in a future episode.
Yeah, it's good.
I didn't know they still made romantic comedies. This is going to be a problem for me.
Well, let's see how you do. 90 seconds on the clock. Joel, are you ready?
Yes.
Emma Stone and Amanda Bynes starred in this high school-based 2010 movie.
Easy A.
In 2011's No Strings Attached, Ashton Kutcher falls for this Star Wars star.
Natalie Portman.
In 2011's Friends with Benefits, Justin Timberlake falls for this Jupiter Ascending star.
Mila Kunis.
This 2011 movie has Ryan Gosling teaching Steve Carell how to romance women.
Dan in Real Life?
Crazy Stupid Love. Just Go With It has Jennifer Aniston helping Adam Sandler win over this model and actress.
Pass.
This 2012 David O. Russell movie is based on a Matthew Quick novel.
Silver Linings Playbook.
In Warm Bodies, Nicholas Holt is one of these creatures.
Zombie.
About Time, a time travel-based rom-com, comes from this Love Actually writer.
Richard Curtis.
Morris Chestnut, Taye Diggs, and Regina Hall star in this 2013 sequel.
Why Did I Get Married To?
The Best Man Holiday. This basketball player takes a comedic turn in Trainwreck.
LeBron James.
Before getting jacked for Eternals, he co-wrote The Big Sick.
Kumail Nanjiani.
The novel Simon vs. the Homo Sapiens Agenda was adapted into this 2018 movie.
Love, Simon.
Love, Simon, correct, but after the buzzer. Dan, let's hear the Joel report.
Well, for someone who pretended not to know they made rom-coms in the 2010s, he certainly did very well with it. We have just one pass. Just Go With It is Jennifer Aniston helping Adam Sandler try and win over Brooklyn Decker, who plays a school teacher in that movie. Joel got 8 correct answers, bringing him to 255 points. Carrie's up next. She'll need to get 7 correct answers in order to tie and 8 in order to win outright.
All right, Carrie, 2 category choices left. They are Time to Vogue and Slaying a Dragon in Acid-Washed Jeans.
I am going to take Time to Vogue.
You have a guess as to what this is about?
I hope it's about pop culture from 1990, the year that Vogue was a big hit.
Ding, ding, ding. Absolutely. We are talking all pop culture of the year 1990. 90 seconds on the clock. Carrie, are you ready?
I am.
This character's body is discovered in the pilot of ABC's Twin Peaks.
Laura Palmer.
William Peter Blatty adapts his own novel Legion as the third installment in this horror series.
The Exorcist.
She plays a demented fan in Misery.
Kathy Bates.
This Coronemic starring Fox show is legally distinct from Ferris Bueller.
Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Alec Baldwin plays this government agent, later played by Chris Pine and John Krasinski.
Jack Ryan.
He has lead roles in both Edward Scissorhands and Crybaby.
Johnny Depp.
Players control Guybrush Threepwood in this Lucasfilm adventure game.
Pass.
A cover of Nothing Compares to You is a hit for this Irish singer.
Sinead O'Connor.
Sofia Coppola is panned for her role in this much maligned sequel.
Godfather 3.
This video game character gets a cape and rides a dinosaur in a Super Nintendo sequel.
Mario.
This superhero gets his own show on CBS, though a later CW version will prove more successful.
The Tick.
The Flash. This singer releases her debut single, Vision of Love.
Mariah Carey.
This reptilian adaptation becomes the highest-grossing independent film in U.S. history.
Pass.
Warren Beatty plays this square-jawed comic strip hero for whom he still holds the movie rights.
Dick Tracy.
This Groundhog Day actress is paired with Gerard Depardieu in Green Card.
Andie MacDowell.
Man.
Andie MacDowell, correct at the buzzer.
That was impressive.
That was great.
I was 12 years old and all I did was watch TV and movies.
I was 9 and apparently all I did was watch TV.
I did not spend my time usefully. Nicely done.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Carrie report and our final scores.
Whew, Carrie had quite a round, only two passes to go through. Guybrush Threepwood is the lead character in The Secret of Monkey Island, one of my all-time favorite games. And the reptilian adaptation that at the time became the highest-grossing independent film in U.S. history was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the good one with the good Jim Henson versions of the Turtles. Carrie needed 8 correct answers in order to win. She had 12. So our final scores are Suzanne with 125, Joel with 255, and Carrie is our winner with 305
Holy
points.
Holy cow!
Ooh, wow!
Nice.
Carrie!
Nice. That's amazing! You did great! Great score!
I don't know this for sure. We may have to check the archives, but I think the only other time someone's cracked 300 was when we had 40-point answers in round 2. So, scaled, this might be our best score ever. Congratulations, Carrie.
It was the power of Olivia Newton-John.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to believe Carrie is magic.
Indeed.
But that does mean it is time to say goodbye to Susanna and Joel. Such a great game. Thank you so much for playing today. Really, really good time. Please come back in the future. Before we go, though, Susanna, do you have anything you'd like to point our listeners towards?
Yes, I participate in an urban Iditarod called Shiditarod. The URL is shiditarod.org. They raise food and funds to help combat food hunger in Chicago and give out microgrants and then donate food directly to the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Please consider helping them out. They do really good work.
Thank you, Susanna. Joel, anything you'd like to point our listeners towards yourself?
I'm just on all the social medias at Joel Everett. That's like Joel Levard. And I would give particular emphasis to Letterboxd, where Taylor just followed me today, because I love Letterboxd and no one follows me or ever likes my reviews. So,
if you're a player on this show and you plug your Letterboxd, I will 100% follow you. I will just make that a general rule. Thank you, Joel. And Carrie, anything to plug?
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter because I refuse to take down a tweet wishing death on Donald Trump. But you can find me on Instagram at Pizza Carrie. And I also have a podcast called Hey, Remember the 80s, all about 80s music.
Links to all of these things in your show notes on this episode. And you can also follow Carrie as the radio emoji over on our Season 9 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the second elimination match over in the Viridian Dynamics Division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Susanna, Joel, and Carrie, thanks for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. This 1998 Google Doodle... Nope. Oh boy.
I'm gonna make a prediction. That's gonna be the end of the show.